Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzzed Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we're going to be covering our favorite, well,
best, not, the best.
Well, we're also going to cover one that's not good, but we'll talk about that.
We're going to talk about why the others are the best, so we have to have something to compare to.
The best New Year's movies.
And we're super excited to be sharing this with you because, hey, we just watched some of you and having champagne. It feels really good.
Real good.
Which is the way you should absolutely watch New Year's Eve.
Because
movies.
When we're recording this, it's New Year's Eve.
Yay! We're actually doing this in a timely manner, which is pretty rare. Awesome! And we have good champagne and good wine glasses and
good company.
Good company. We've had a good time.
Yeah, we have.
So we just got finished
watching our favorites.
So. Yeah, exactly. So we have our usual disclaimers, which include that there will be cursing. There will be spoilers if you've not seen these movies, and some of you may not have seen. Some of them you probably have. Either way, we have disclaimers, and we're having, I already said champagne. It's actually not champagne. We're having something called Cremant de Loire. It is a bubbly wine from the Loire region of France. It is fucking great.
So good.
So good. Pairs with so many things. The Loire region of France is where all those beautiful chateaux are, the ones that you see like Chambord and Chenonceau and all of these things. And it's a wine region that is like very rich and yummy, yummy wines and great food. So
and also a preface to where we're how we're going into this as far as mental state is concerned. We've just split a bottle of this. Just
bottle.
The two of us.
Real bottle, not a split.
And we're working on the last part of it right now. So if we stumble in any way, that's why.
Yeah.
And it's not the last wine that will be sipped tonight because it's New Year's Eve.
That's
what are you
right.
gonna do?
We just, you know, we wanted to spread things out throughout the day.
That is not the reason.
It's not. The first movie we wanted to cover, though, is the movie called New Year's Eve. Which,
we had never
let's
seen
face
before.
It is shit.
It is shit.
I
respect anyone who has watched it and like it and is part of their traditions. That's fine for you.
But and here's the thing: I love Gary Marshall as director.
Princess Diaries 2, absolute banger
of
a film.
He's done a lot of great stuff. There are amazing actors in this. I'll look so up in it. He's done amazing other work. The actors are, there's so many great actors in this movie. The writing is garbage. And it's just not well edited. It doesn't come together well.
What it tries to do is something similar to Love Actually. And he's made another one called Valentine's Day that I have watched as well. But I'm not a huge fan of that either. So essentially what it tries to do is it has a lot of different subplots. And no main plot. It just follows a lot of different pairings to whatever degree that means for each of them. But like, it just follows all these different people on their New Year's Eve and tries to resolve their conflicts.
Just to use as an example, great movies that Gary Marshall has been involved with: Pretty Woman,
Princess Diaries,
Beaches, great movie.
Never seen
Johnny,
Beaches.
It's a great movie.
Oh, Chicken Little. Anyway, there's a mixed bag here, but when he really hits,
but
he also
directed Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley, The Odd Couple.
We don't have to
Mork
go through
and
all
Mindy.
Of them.
I mean, the man like has done some great stuff, and he's a very funny guy. His daughter Penny Marshall did Big, and I think that she wasn't she married to Rob Reiner at one point. I think so. So, Rob Reiner comes into play in this episode. So, there you go.
Yeah. New Year's Eve follows a lot of different subplots. I wrote a few of them down. I feel like I'm missing one, but I don't care enough.
I didn't write anything down because it was garbage.
I wrote it down today, so this is going to be interesting. Zac Efron and Michelle Pfeiffer bucket list.
No.
I do not care.
That is probably the worst storyline of all the storylines.
It's my least favorite, yeah.
It's just pretty terrible.
It's just kind of boring and
weird. And honestly, unnecessary. And then they make them kiss at the end? What the fuck is that?
Because he wanted to like complete her bucket list. But that's still weird.
Like because
right after they kiss, she's like, I'm more than twice your age. And he's like, it was on your bucket list, babe. It's
like
okay.
To kiss someone on New Year's Eve. It's like, oh my God, you're 50 something and you haven't kissed someone on New Year's Eve. And of course, it's not true. It's Michelle Pfeiffer.
It's Michelle Pfeiffer.
Like,
she
no.
was Catwoman. Let's she was not many, many go other there.
Things, and oh my god, fucking gorgeous. Are you kidding
Don't
me?
Even go there. It's no. Michelle Pfeiffer.
Right.
And that's the entire vibe that she was giving me. She was giving Selena, the Catwoman girl, Selena, right before she changed.
Librarian,
yeah, the pathetic librarian version of Selena before she changes into Catwoman. And okay. That's her vibe the entire time. That's my least favorite part of her Catwoman.
Yeah.
Anyway, John Bon Jovi and Katherine Heigl.
Ugh, John Bon Jovi, not an actor.
He wasn't as bad as I thought he would be.
He was better than expected, but that storyline is terrible.
Well, I think the storyline, the premise is interesting, but then they don't spend enough time on them resolving their conflict and then immediately go to, oh, you love each other again.
Yeah.
Like, what?
No.
What are you talking about? We don't know anything about, like, why they're getting back together. They just randomly do. It's kind of weird.
Abigail Breslin.
Oh, yeah. We were going to get to that in a second.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Lea Michele and Ashton Kutcher in the elevator.
Oh, God.
She's going to be singing backup for Jon Bon Jovi, and then she ends up getting her own little solo Auld Lang Syne.
Yeah, because, like, that's what happens.
That's definitely what happens when you don't have the star.
No.
And the star is like, you got it, kid. No.
No.
I mean, I have watched all of Glee, and so I have a respect for Lea Michele and her voice as far as that is concerned, and her acting is good, but it's just kind of, I can't see her as anything other than Rachel Berry. I can't do it.
I can't, well, and this role is nothing other than Rachel Berry.
It is Rachel Berry.
And Ashton Kutcher, he's actually fine. Has done better work.
He's not bad.
He's really good on That 70s Show, if you've not seen it. So
I haven't. And him and Mila Kunis are cute, so yeah, that's fine. Anyway, sorry. Sarah Jessica Parker, icon of the century, and Little Miss Sunshine. All right. And her lover as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Abigail Breslin is a great actress as well.
So, yeah. SJP is a great actress.
SJP, iconic.
Yeah. Abigail Breslin, great actress. Also, and the guy is actually really good.
I don't know who he is.
And yet, this is not compelling. I'll look him up anyway.
Okay. He's good. And I think basically what their little mini storyline is Abigail Breslin is the teen kid of Sarah Jessica Parker, and she wants to go out with her friends on New Year's Eve, and Sarah Jessica Parker is, like, without supervision in New York in Times Square. Not a chance, babe.
Nope.
Dangerous. Fair enough. And she seems like a cool mom. She, like, does costumes for the Rockettes or something. It's cool. But, like, she's just being a rational person.
Yeah, like, no, my 12-year-old, whatever she is.
She's, like, 14.
Whatever, is still super young, and well, she should not be at this spot by herself.
And there's this ongoing mystery with this one guy's storyline where he's trying to get back to the city after, like, a quick, like, elopement of his friends. He's trying to make it back to the city in time for a benefit thing that is barely brought up at all, except for, like, it's a masquerade thing, and it's his father's company, and he's really rich, whatever, it doesn't matter. He met a girl last New Year's Eve, and they really, really connected.
His name is Josh Duhamel.
Okay, I do not know who that is.
He was on All My Children, so he's a soap opera actor.
That explains
everything.
A lot.
Yeah, it does.
Anyway, he's good. He's actually very good.
Yeah.
But he's trying to make it back for this New Year's Eve because they made it packed last New Year's Eve that they would meet at a certain restaurant or whatever outside of a certain restaurant. Mm-hmm. But that restaurant has been torn down, unfortunately. And the entire time you're thinking, oh, it's this other person. Oh, it's this other person. No, I called that shit from the beginning. It was going to be Sarah Jessica Parker if it was going to be anybody. Mm-hmm. And it was. And they're cute, but they don't build it up enough. Like, it's, I don't know. Then we've got the final one that I remember is Robert De Niro and Vice President of Times Square.
Ugh.
Vice President of Times Square is played by, what's her face?
Oh my God, I'm having a blank.
The girl who played that.
She's an award-winning actress.
Yes, holy she's shit. A great actress.
Oh my God. Give me a second.
Okay, you keep going. Anyway, she's a Vice President of Times Square. The ball is shorting out and whatever, and so her job is being threatened by Matthew Broderick, who makes a very brief cameo, and she after the ball stuff is resolved. She's like, I'm going to spend my New Year's Eve with somebody that I need to be with. And you think that's going to be the lover boy, soap opera guy. But no, it's her father who is dying in the hospital.
Hilary Swank. Oh
Hilary
God.
Swank is her name. Yes, sorry.
She's amazing, but this is not the kind of role that brings out her best.
But she goes to her father, Robert De Niro, in the hospital, and they watch the ball drop together, which
Which
is
again, it's like,
nice. But the best storyline, which was so barely touched on, it was barely a storyline, was the nurse for Robert De Niro being
Yeah.
played by Halle
Halle Berry.
Berry,
Oh my
who's too good for
God.
this fucking movie. We all
Well,
know.
right, she's amazing and she has so little screen time and
But the little
she.
screen time she has, her little plot line is that her husband or
Is
boyfriend or whatever
deployed
is deployed,
in a combat zone.
and they get this very brief FaceTime together where they get to say that they love each other and just get to see each other for the very brief amount of time that they
Right, and
have.
he's got to then go to whatever crisis he's dealing with. Like, it seems like he's in Afghanistan or something.
Something like that.
It is that I almost teared up just for that, and it was like, what,
Barely
40
anything.
minutes? It's like, it was very minimal. But
Yeah.
again, it shows you how amazing Halle Berry is.
Halle Berry's great.
And just how,
She's been in some bad movies, but she's
right,
great.
but how good this could have been, right? That idea that this really had so much potential and yet it
It's
wasted it.
disappointing. I think those are all. See, when I list them, there are very few plot lines, but they just don't dedicate the right amount of time to each of them. Like for Katherine Heigl's, most of hers is dedicated to Sofia Vergara and her random bullshit.
Yeah, like they're catering people and whatever. I mean, there's a lot of random bullshit
Like
with that.
there's a lot of random like side plots that aren't associated with the main side plots, and it's
Look,
just
this is
so
supposed to be a
weird.
romantic comedy. Let's get some romance. That's
Yeah.
basically
The
my
thing
gripe.
with Love Actually is it sticks to the only subplots that they have. They focus on those subplots. That's all they're focusing on for those subplots. They don't focus on the other random mini characters that have
Well,
nothing to do with
and
it.
the intersection of those subplots is logical.
Yes.
So this just seems like, hey, we threw a bunch of potential romantic storylines into the same movie. Woo!
Yeah.
It's just not at what you would consider to be the standard for something like this. It's much more sitcom than rom-com, and I think that's part of the problem.
There are many problems,
Yeah,
but
there are, and
it's not one we're going to rewatch. We're going to
it's
rewatch
not.
these
Well,
other two
I want to
every New
add
Year's
one
Eve,
other
though.
thing to that, which is that the soundtrack, which could have been amazing, you got John Bon Jovi, for God's sake.
Yes, sure.
They just and Lea Michele. You could have
Both
done
very
so
talented.
much with this, and they just didn't. And it's
They didn't.
disappointing. All right, so let's move on to our first runner-up,
Yeah, second
second
favorite.
favorite, because actually, New Year's Eve is not even the favorite
It's
column.
not in the favorite
It's
column at
not.
all. It's there, but it's not favorite.
So this movie is a movie I absolutely love. It's one my dad introduced me to. It is a movie called Holiday. It was made in 1938, which is the
It's
year
a black
my
and
mother
white.
was born. It is a
Ooh.
black and white movie, but it has Cary Grant and Katharine Hepburn in it.
Which is always a winning combination. If
Oh.
you love Philadelphia Story or Bringing Up Baby, this
Yes.
is right up your
It is
alley.
right up your alley. It is well written. It is, yeah, it's black and white, but it's beautifully shot. And God, the performances are fucking Cary
Grant
Grant.
can run me over with a car, and I'm thinking.
Oh, yeah, God, yeah.
He's so fucking gorgeous and charming.
And he's so self-effacing too in this. It's just lovely.
He's
And
just willing to be a goofball, and I love
yeah.
it.
Yeah, so that this movie and I kind of want to sell it a little bit just because it is very underrated but very, very excellent.
No one ever talks about it.
The basic plot line is that this guy, Johnny Case, played by Cary Grant,
Oh.
falls in love with a girl who's
Julia.
rich, Julia Seton.
He
He
doesn't know
meets her.
she's rich.
No, he meets her at a ski resort. It's the first vacation he's ever had in his whole life, and he meets this girl that he thinks is beautiful and sweet and all these things, and he's going to meet her family. And he stops in town. He lives and works in New York. He's a finance person on Wall Street. And we see him interact with his friends Nick and Susan, who
Who
are
are
like,
awesome,
we're awesome, like
like
normal
normal
teachery,
people.
professory, awesome people. And the banter that they have is just fantastic. You find out that Donny Case is, he when he, in doubt, when he's concerned about something, he does gymnastics,
He does a
which,
flip.
right, yeah, I mean, and it just makes him very endearing. He goes to their house, which is this Park Avenue address. It is it's this huge fucking mansion. It's like going to the Met Museum as a
He didn't
house.
know that she had money.
He didn't know she had money, so he goes in the servant's entrance. He briefly meets her brother,
Ned.
Ned, who is played by the guy who played Go Dr. Kildare, which was a series back in the 50s, I think. And he meets Ned. Ned is hilarious. This
Very
performance.
dry.
Oh my God, this actor, he looks like Jack Lemmon. He's not. But he is so fucking funny. He does so much without words. He plays this alcoholic brother who is just like he's beaten down by the money and the structure of this rich
He
family.
doesn't even want to work for with his dad in the finance
And
industry,
he
the
feels
banking.
obligated.
But he feels like he has to because he's the only son and he's going to carry on the family legacy.
Right.
And he
So
feels that pressure, that generational pressure, and just
that's
because he has two older sisters.
right. So, and his sisters are there's Julia, who is the one that Cary Grant thinks he's in love
She's the
with.
middle child.
She's the middle child, and she's very pretty,
Gorgeous,
but
yes.
kind of bitchy.
Well, she's kind, but then
Kind of bitchy.
mom. She's not bitchy until Johnny decides that he wants to think for himself because she thinks that he's,
Until he reveals it. He
yeah.
has always wanted to think for himself.
Well, okay. Until he reveals that. But like she initially was like, oh, well, he's, well, obviously, it's Cary Grant. And he's very attractive and he has, like, he's funny. He's nice. He's all this stuff. They've only known each other for what, like a month? Like it's insane how fast things are going for them. That they seem to be think that they're in love, but she doesn't really think she, we find out in the end she never really loved him, and but not like in a malicious way. She just thought she did, but she didn't. But she, what she wants out of the relationship is just to, I don't know, have a hot guy on her arm and for him to fall in line with the family business. Which he doesn't want to do, but we'll get to that. And the oldest is played by Katharine
Katharine Hepburn.
Hepburn,
Her name
is
is Linda.
Linda. And Linda is the black sheep of the family, self-proclaimed.
She's so
And
funny about it, though. She again, self-effacing, very.
as soon as Johnny and Linda meet, they're on the same page and they match each other's freak. Like they,
Yes.
that's the perfect way to put
The
it.
banter. So immediately in the very first conversation. So essentially, it's a cock block. Cary Grant comes in to see Julia. They're in the elevator kissing. And Linda has, the door's open and there's Linda. And this is the elevator in their residence. So the door opens, there's Linda, and Linda's like, oh, do I know him? And the banter immediately between Johnny and Linda is electric. It is just so good. And you can tell that they are at a level, that they are both intelligence and humor and all of those things are just like
They're
everything's
free
firing.
spirits.
Yeah.
They're
And
birds of a feather.
they are. And you can see even Julia's a little bit like, wait a minute.
She's concerned about that in a
Right.
certain sense. But later on, after like Julia tells her father in church that
Which
she's
is
getting married,
priceless. It's actually really
I know
good.
it's funny, yeah, mom, but we
Go
for the
ahead.
sake of time.
Go ahead.
And so he goes back for lunch to be introduced to her, to Linda and Julia's father. And he goes up to the playroom where basically Linda lives. Like she
Hangs
only
out there. It's
stays
the only
there.
normal room in the house that isn't like museum piece.
Yeah. And he and she, Linda clings to memories of her childhood and her mother because that was where she got the most love.
Yeah.
And she, it's very depressing, of course,
It is.
but she laughs it off. She's always like, well, I want to be here. And when it comes to like an engagement party, she wants to be the one to plan it so that they could do a very small, intimate thing with just Julia and
Ned.
Johnny's friends in the playroom where it will be normal and they could all have a nice fun time without the stuffy nonsense that they have to do because they're upper class.
Yeah.
But of course that doesn't jive, and
Right.
so they have to do a stuffy affair
Right.
with
And
engraved notes and all.
this ginormous New Year's Eve party, because they want to announce the engagement and they're trying to get married January 10th, which is like pretty fast even for back then.
Oh, it's fast as fuck. Jesus
But
Christ.
yeah, so they have this New Year's Eve party and it is a an affair, like people with these amazing mink coats and all these things. And what ends up happening during the party is Linda refuses to come down from the playroom. And this is a big deal. And people
Because
random
people will talk.
people are talking, they're cousins. And she had mentioned, Linda had mentioned her evil cousins who are very snooty and boring,
Seton.
Seton Cram, like cram it up your ass. That guy and his
The
wife,
Wicked
the
Witch.
Wicked Witch. Yeah, and so they end up in the playroom and they are having like this delightful fun time, drinking champagne
Well,
and
okay, to be clear, the friends show up.
right, Nick and
Nick
Susan.
and Susan show up, and they're caught off guard by like the sheer amount of people and also like the
The richness,
stuffiness.
yeah.
And so they get in the elevator and are like, well, we don't know where to go. So they just randomly could click a button. It happens to be the perfect button to go to the playroom. And so they go to the playroom and just end up talking to Linda, and they get along famously with Linda, and Ned comes in with drinks and such. And so they all
They're
just,
hanging out, they're playing.
and of course, Johnny comes in at the behest of Julia to get Linda back downstairs. I don't know why she couldn't go herself, but
Because she refused.
yes, but they're in the playroom, and then he realizes his friends are there, and and they're like, we didn't even recognize you. And it's
Right.
like a who have you become, dude, like kind of thing.
Have you
Not in a
already
bad
changed
way.
into one of them?
It's just appearance wise, like his hair's done and
Is Cary
he's in tulle.
Grant in a fucking tux? Oh
I know he's fucking hot,
my
but
God.
either way, it's they're concerned that he's changing into one of them just because of the fact that they had a big party like this. And so they are concerned about that. But and he's just like, you know what? Yeah, this has been weird. I don't know. I don't know how to feel about this. But he does love Jul. He does think he loves Julia. So and the reason I say think, it's because they don't really love each other. They don't know each other.
Right. They've
Like,
known each other like for 10 days in like classes.
yeah,
That's like a thing.
that's not love,
No,
dude.
no,
And
it's
everyone
not.
wants to think that love at first sight is real. I think that there are certain
There are
degrees to that.
attractions of at first sight, for
Absolutely.
sure.
Lust at first sight, there's attraction and all that stuff, but true love built over time, baby.
Yep. And
Anyway,
sometimes it starts there.
oh sure,
But
but like
yeah.
you but you have to, there is a build,
Nurture it. You have to nurture
yes, you
it.
have to let it grow a bit more before
Yes.
you can really call it love. But
Yes.
either way, so they are up in the playroom, and Linda is ecstatic that he's staying up there with them. And so they are doing acrobatic tricks and such. And Ned's a, like, this is very off topic, but Ned is an amazing musician, and he plays basically any instrument.
Which is
And
a great foil to all the other shit that's going on.
well, that, and also it proves that he has ambitions other than what his dad wants for him, and he had to give it
And
up.
legit
Like
ones.
he was going to make a concerto, but then he was forced not to, and it's just very sad.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're up in the
Playroom.
playroom, and of course Julia and her father have to ruin it. They
And
come
they do.
in.
And Julie's fucking terrible, by the
Well,
way.
we haven't really talked about the father all that much. He's very uptight. He's very overbearing, and he wants things the way he wants it, and that's that about it. But so the father and Julia expect Johnny to join the family finance business at the expense of Johnny's own dreams of retiring early and not making too much money. He doesn't want to be a billionaire
Right.
or even a
But
millionaire.
what he says is, I want to know why I'm working. I want to go and explore the world and see the world and understand what I'm working for. Like, what is my goal? It's not just money. It's got to be more than that.
Yeah.
And he wants to know what that more than that is. And the only way to do that is to break away from the
The
hamster
hustle
wheel.
and the bustle and
Right.
the
And
constant, like, just stream of work.
right.
And
And so Linda gets it immediately. Julia, however, does not. She's daddy's girl. And so It that is the tension in this movie is that she doesn't want what Johnny wants. And she makes that kind of clear New Year's Eve, and he almost kisses Linda at the New Year's
They
Eve party.
dance and they almost kiss.
Yeah, it's like, oh.
And she, and Linda pulls away.
Right. Linda does the honorable thing. She's like, no, that's my sister. I love her a lot. You love her, don't you?
I think what the best part about this love triangle is that he, even though that he thinks that him and Julia love each other, they've been together for only 10 days. So
Right.
you can just be like, no, that was a fleeting fancy. Like it's okay.
Yeah, you don't feel commit like he's
You don't feel like
violating
there's too
anything.
much betrayal there because it's like you barely know each other. Let's calm down.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's way more spontaneous than Julia will ever be,
Right.
which is fine. You're just different people, but you can't, that's a very different life.
Right.
And so
So they have.
Johnny leaves the party without a goodbye and asks, and later that morning, like a couple of days later, he goes off to think, and sorry, Linda goes over to Susan and
Nick's
Nick's apartment.
looking for them.
Yeah, well, looking for
Him,
Johnny.
right.
And they say, oh, well, we're about to sail to France for like a business, not business thing. It's like a
Right,
teacher
well,
thing.
right. So he's gotten Nick, who's a professor, has gotten an assignment in Paris, and he's all excited. And Johnny's going to go with him because he's made his millions. That's part of the announcement New Year's Eve, is that he's made millions off of a deal that he brokered. And that's part of the reason everybody wants him, like, because he's clearly brilliant at what he does. But he also just, he like, I've made my millions. I want to go and see the world. And so they have this plan that they're going to sail on a ship to France that night. And Linda's like, oh, but Julia's got to go with him. And they get this telegram, and Johnny tells them, he's
Linda's not
telling,
going to sail.
yeah, Julia's not going to
Julia's
sail.
not going to sail. Sorry.
Julia's not going to sail. And Linda's like, no, I'll convince her. It's going to be fine. She'll show up. And so she goes back to try to convince Julia. And while she is there at the house, Johnny shows up again. And there's a beautiful scene. Again, you get to see like how much pressure the family is putting on everybody, and how much Julia buys into it. Like, Julia's part of the pressure. And she is actually, and Johnny's finally like, I can't do this anymore. They're trying to plan a
He gets
honeymoon.
overwhelmed by all the connections that he's being forced to make that he doesn't want to make. He's about to compromise, like, I'll work for maybe another 1 or 2 years with your company, but I want, if I get want to retire after that, you need to let me and
Right.
not to like put me under your thumb. But with all these connections and all these advantageous
Right.
things, he's going to feel like he's obligated
Right, they're going to
to
give him a house, and they're going to,
just
it's
the whole
all these
thing.
things.
And you're going to just feel that pressure your entire life. And that's, Ned is the clear example of that, of
Right.
Ned being so depressed that he is being forced to be in this,
Oppressed, really.
that too, but alcoholic, and he's doing things he doesn't want to do. He has other passions that he is, that have just been
Ignoring.
like squeezed out of him. It's just so sad.
It is.
And then you've got Johnny, who has these ambitions to travel. And them being like, well, you will get to travel for your honeymoon if you agree to this, but you're also going to have to make business connections while you're there. It's like, no, that's not what a honeymoon is. Like,
Right. And oh,
no.
we're gonna buy you this house, but I'll give it to you eventually, not right away.
It's like,
That kind of thing. It's like,
no.
no, I mean, there's no actual affection.
And he's just like, Julia, if you leave with me right now, we can get married right now and not have any of this, and you can sail with me to France, and that can be our honeymoon. And Julia's like, if you're going to make me do that, no, I'm not going to
Right.
do that. And
And
fair enough, that's what, not what she
Linda's
wants.
like,
You never loved
you
him.
never loved him.
And
And
she's
that's what
like,
she was
fine, yeah,
waiting to
didn't love
see.
him. So
Right. Linda wants to see that Julia didn't actually love him, so she doesn't feel a sense of betrayal, or like that she's betraying her sister. And when she realizes Julia didn't love Johnny, she's like, I am on it. Let's
I'm going
go.
on the boat.
And this last scene where she shows up on the cruise ship, and
He's doing a flip, and then
Johnny, yeah.
he sees her and immediately stops doing a flip, and so he does it midair, and then he fucks it up and lands on the ground. She is walking up to him and
Nick and
Susan
Susan.
and Nick, And immediately Susan and Nick leave them alone for their privacy. She's like, meet him at the club. And she
He
has her
grabs
hand
her hand.
dangling down, and he grabs her hand and he's like, right here. And then she kneels
Like,
down and they kiss.
it's
It's
so cute.
perfect.
It's so cute.
Perfect. And it's not like a proposal. It's not anything too fast like what he had with Julia. They're going to take their time and they're going to have adventures and they're going to be together.
Yeah,
And that's all
it's
they need.
lovely. It's lovely. It
It's
is a
so
great,
sweet.
great, great movie.
Not as good
As number
as number
one,
one.
number one, and this cannot be a surprise.
Our number one
No,
is
number
my
one.
absolute number one favorite rom-com. It
Yeah.
n no competition, really.
I will say the only competition I can see for this as a favorite rom-com would be Philadelphia Story,
No,
but
I like this better, but I like them for different reasons. It whatever I'm looking for, I can find something in one of those.
right.
But When Harry Met Sally, if I'm choosing a favorite rom-com, this is my favorite.
I absolutely love this
It
movie. I
is
love this movie.
insanely perfect and I love it so
Well,
much.
right. So let's talk
There isn't
about.
like a it's a snappy film. It doesn't drag anywhere for me. Like that's what I love so much about it.
It
Anyway,
had to be
so
you. So you
we're gonna
got.
get into it.
Right. We've got Harry Connick Jr. as a soundtrack. It had to be you as like the constant background on piano. It is beautiful. There's great writing by Nora Ephron. There's great direction by Rob Reiner, who, if you don't know, Rob Reiner directed The Princess Bride. He did Spinal Tap, and the man is like hilariously funny. He was also, of course, on All in the Family, if you're old enough to know what that is. It was a sitcom in the 70s. But he has directed some amazing films, and he does a beautiful job with this. Proceed.
Okay, first of all, amazing cast, like perfect cast. Billy Crystal as Harry, and you've got Meg Ryan as Sally. Like, and then we also have Carrie Fisher as Marie, her friend. We'll get into that later. So it's also good music, hilarious. It's just so good. So what goes on in between these little segments that we're going to talk about? Because it's told chronologically, and there are a lot of time jumps. So just keep that in mind. In between these segments are some fictional couples telling the story of how they met,
Right,
which is
some
very
older
sweet.
people
Some
generally.
older, usually like they've been together for 50 something years. It's very sweet. Okay, Harry and Sally met in 1977 on a long drive from Chicago to New York after college. So like an 18-hour drive, which is
It's a
insane.
long drive from
And they
Chicago to New
don't
York.
stop, which is even more insane. Anyway,
It's
they
not like Harry doesn't try.
we'll talk about that later. So they have different views on life. Harry is very relaxed and philosophical. Like he
He's
thinks
almost
about
a cretin.
he is, he is. He's an old soul. And Sally is an uptight and very specific person. She's very OCD about food in particular.
Yes, food is a major issue for her.
An issue? No, it's only an issue for everyone else who has to like take her order. So there's this also this cute ongoing debate about the ending of Casablanca, and that's funny. But they decide not to be friends because according to Harry, sex always gets in the way of male and female friendships.
He makes an argument for
He
that.
does.
And
It's
their
certainly
relationship
something.
makes an argument for that, I guess, but it really doesn't. So,
Is there anything else for that segment you would like to say?
not the beginning segment, no. Although there are some very cute things. There's so much I love about this movie, so it makes it really, really hard for me to just narrow it down. Although the whole Sheldon conversation in the diner, they have wonderful conversations in restaurants and diners in this. And one of the things that is brilliant about this Nora Ephron writing is that it is so conversational and it's so well acted. And that's some of the direction,
Ride
some
me,
of the
big
actors.
Sheldon.
Yeah, no, you haven't had great sex with someone named Sheldon.
It's
Ride
in the
me, big
name.
Sheldon. It's in the name.
If you need someone to take your income, do your income taxes, Sheldon's
Sheldon's
your
your
guy.
man.
Humping and pumping is not
Not Sheldon's
Sheldon's
thing.
game.
It is so funny. And again, the delivery, Billy Crystal, and we talked about this during the movie. Billy Crystal is not your typical rom-com hero.
But he's so fucking good in this
He
because
is
the
so good.
sarcasm is just perfect.
Right. But you know, he also, there's acting that's amazing too.
Oh,
We
at
haven't.
the end, he kills me. All right, we'll get to that later. They meet again on a plane 5 years later in 1982, and are both in serious relationships at the time. Harry is about to get married, and
Sally
just confessed her love to this guy who she's been together with for a month, which seems pretty fast, but I'm not one to judge.
Stuff happens.
Anyway, so they continue not being friends because even though Harry tries to make an amendment to the earlier rule because of the sex thing, it's like, oh, well, but if you're both in relationships, it's fine. It's like, I don't know about that.
But then he talks himself out of it because, again,
he gets philosophical about it.
Harry is at this point in time a lawyer, which is...
he's a political consultant.
He's a political consultant, but he went to law school or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, of course, as someone who is professionally a lawyer, I can talk myself in and out of everything. And I have these
as an overthinker, I can talk myself in and out of anything.
There you go. So, you are my child.
I love you. Yep, I love you too. All right, they meet again 5 years later in 1987 at a library after Harry's...
Oh, I thought it was a bookstore.
Oh, it might have been a bookstore. Yeah, it looked like a library for a second.
Bookstore.
Anyway, Harry is getting a divorce and Sally broke up with her boyfriend of 5-6 years.
Yeah.
They
have a long discussion about it.
We are also introduced to Sally's friend Marie.
This happens earlier, actually. The introduction to Marie is earlier.
Yeah.
And Marie is played by Carrie Fisher.
So good.
She's amazing in this.
You're right. I know you're right.
Exactly. And she's dating and has been dating this guy who's married.
Yeah, that's great for
and
Marie.
And everybody's kind of like, Marie, dear.
But also Marie's an icon and I love her.
Yeah,
so.
She's hilariously funny.
And we also meet Harry's friend Jess, mm-hmm. who is a writer, and he is very passionate about what he does. And they're both great friends to Sally and Harry, respectively.
They are.
They so at the bookstore, they meet up at the bookstore, and they recognize each other this time.
Yes,
Sally always recognizes Harry, but Harry doesn't always recognize Sally.
He's a cretin.
It's been 5 years. I can give him a pass.
Whatever.
But this time he does recognize her, and they start talking about their relationships and how they've ended. And Sally has this great monologue about how she ended up wanting a family, but that he putting that on the table, and Joe didn't want to get married.
Just aside, Joe is played by Gerald Ford, the president's son.
Oh, fuck. Yeah.
Yeah. He's very attractive.
I remember you telling me that one time. He is very attractive, but fuck him. He hurt Sally.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay, guys. So they become friends and process their breakups together. They date other people, but it doesn't really go well.
There's some really amazing conversations in this friendship. Like there is a point at which even after that first conversation, Sally actually asks Harry, "Hey, do you want to have dinner with me?" Like that kind of flirter question. Like,
what do you think this is?
Where is this going?
And I think she's concerned also because of like Harry's history of like just hitting and quitting.
Yeah.
That he's just going to use this as an opportunity because she never like fully experienced that part of him. Right. So this could just be all his ploy to just get her in bed.
Yeah. That's
and
possible.
I don't think she's not open to that because I mean, everyone needs that transition period.
The rebound.
But.
Yeah.
But she also wants to see maybe they could just be friends. And it's really him who said every time that they can't be friends.
Right. So what he says is, this is the first time I've like been, you know.
Yeah. Are we going to be friends now? And she's like, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we're going to be friends.
And what he says is like, this is the first time I've not been sexually attracted to somebody. She's like, thanks.
Thanks, I think.
I think, sort of. And so they develop this friendship where they're talking all the time about absolutely everything, and part
including
of the conversation,
the people they've gone on dates with
and the people they've had sex with. So apparently there's this sequence,
it's iconic. If you haven't heard of it, where have you been?
There are so many things, but where Harry is telling his friend Jess about making
that's not the part I was thinking of.
A woman meow. It's like, he made
a woman meow. And he's like, yeah, I can tell Sally this. Yeah, she won't judge me. We just talk about it.
And he's like, you made a lawyer me out. I mean, it is so funny. But then they decide, Harry and Sally, decide to set up their friends.
No, before that, there are a few things before that. The iconic fake orgasm scene.
Oh, my God.
If you haven't heard of it before.
My God. You can Google
it.
It's the
so
best
good.
Thing. Meg Ryan in this scene is
so
killer.
Good. I would love to play Sally. This would be fucking iconic.
It is.
Anyway, so Sally and Harry are talking about how, like, she doesn't understand how he can be such a playboy and like have sex with all these women. It's like, do you think they even enjoy it like the way that you do it? Like not staying for the whole night and like
And
you're
he's
doing
like,
all this
they
stuff.
all
And
have
he's like, oh, well,
orgasms.
of course I know that they enjoy it. And she's like, oh, because they have orgasms. And he's just like, yeah. And she's like, well, what do you, well, what if they're faking it? And he's like, oh, they never fake it. And she's just like, oh, you're a man. I forgot.
Yeah,
Yeah,
you
of
just
course.
don't
You don't
know.
understand. And she's just, and he's just like, I think I would know. And she just starts having a fake orgasm right in the middle of a restaurant
It is
in front of
so
everybody very loudly.
unbelievably
So
funny.
funny.
It is so funny.
When she
And
starts, he goes, are you okay? And then at the end of
the cutaway
it,
at the end.
Rob Reiner's mother at a table next to them is like, I'll have what she's having.
Yeah, it is
Iconic.
classic,
Iconic.
classic, beautifully done.
Anyway, after that, they agree to be New Year's dates for each other, and they kiss as friends at midnight. But there's
Best
also been a,
friends, but not as friends.
yeah, but there's also been a slight change at that point because they were dancing, and they're like, oh, well, now we can cheek, like dance cheek to cheek, and then there's a change.
Yeah, you can see it on both of their faces. Like he's smelling her a little bit, and she's like,
And
ah,
she's
"You're
feeling how
smelling
close
me."
he is, and
Yeah,
it's, oh, it's so sweet. Anyway, they try to do a double date thing by pairing the each other up with their friends, but Marie and Jess actually get together instead, which is
yeah,
amazing. I love it so much
it
for
is
them.
adorably funny.
And so it cuts to them getting a like a welcome present for their new home because they're moving in together. Jess
And
and Marie are moving in together.
right, then Harry and Sally go to get this welcome present, and it's a karaoke machine.
Well, no,
Or that
they were
there's
thinking
looking at.
about that, but
They're at
she's like, why
sharper
can't we
ends.
just get a plant? And he's just like, no, this is so much more fun.
But
And
this will be so much easier.
they start saying Surrey with a fringe on top from
Oh my
Oklahoma.
God.
And then Harry's ex-wife shows up with her new boyfriend who she was in love with.
Ira.
There's this whole like really sad like story about how the whole divorce thing, which I'm not going to
Yeah,
spoil for
no,
you.
much of it is done in such an incredibly funny way. And Billy Crystal is
Well, that
amazing.
symptom is fucking my wife.
Yeah,
Anyway,
yes.
so it's a symptom of a
Not
larger
a
problem. Well,
problem.
cheating is usually a symptom of a larger problem. Well,
Well,
that
that
symptom
symptom
is
is
fucking
fucking
my
my wife.
wife. Anyway,
Yeah, it's so funny.
so piecing Surrey with a fringe on top in front of her new boyfriend, Ira. And so they are going to Marie and Jess's place and helping them like set up and stuff. And he has this meltdown about
Harry
his,
does.
Harry has this meltdown about his
Sorry,
ex-wife.
yes, seeing her,
And
Surrey with a fringe on top in front of
you
Ira.
think that you're going to like not get mad about the new like place settings that you get for each other? No, you're gonna go 15 rounds over this stupid coffee table,
Yeah,
and
the wagon wheel coffee
then you're going to
table.
end up seeing Sir with a fringe on top in front of
It
Ira. And
is so.
then Jess is like, I thought you liked the coffee table. And he's like, I was being nice.
Then they go outside, and yeah,
They have this fight.
Sally's trying to talk him down. They have this fight,
And she's like, you have to contain your emotions,
well, right. But
Harry.
she also points out to him, like, you're having sex with everybody. That doesn't mean you're over Helen. That's clearly not a thing. But she said, but then
What the argument has started out as is you need to keep your emotions in check. And he's like, oh yeah, well,
you
says
do
the
that
queen
all
of
the time.
like suppressing emotion. I haven't seen you getting even the slightest bit upset about your ex
Right.
like
So,
being
but what
around.
she says is, I will make love to somebody when it's making love and not like I'm out for revenge or something. And I am with her 100% on that.
Absolutely. Do it when it
Absolutely.
means something. Don't do it when it
Right. So
doesn't.
they have this argument. Sometime after that, they both start dating other people. And they end up
They're
at
jealous of
Marie
each
and,
other.
yeah, Marie and Jess is playing Pictionary, and they're both like eyeing each other's dates, like,
I
hey,
don't trust that
I don't
person.
trust that
Like
person.
what, like she's like, oh my gosh, he doesn't even like desserts. But yeah, and he's dating a
Baby
baker.
fish mouth? Sorry.
But yeah, that's sweeping the nation. But then Harry has this one line of like, he's too tall to talk to.
Exactly.
So
It's
funny.
so funny.
Anyway, Sally one night has this breakdown because she hears that her ex is getting married.
Yeah,
And
Joe
that a
calls it
big part
and
of their
says,
re a big part of their relationship was, oh, we're not going to get married because that's the end of your sex life or whatever, which is
right.
not true, but fine. But they had this whole thing about like not getting married, and when she put marriage on the table, that's when he left.
Right.
And so hearing that after less time that they were to than they were together, he's getting married to this paralegal. She gets named Kimberly. She gets upset. And so
Kimberly.
she has this breakdown and she calls Harry to come over. And Harry does, and he comforts her. It's very sweet, and they end up having sex.
Right. And so the but the after effects of the sex, she's glowing and he is
Dreading it.
stunned. I mean, he's like, you hit, he's like, you're killing a baby heart's feel. Like, you hit him in the head, like, oh my
And here's
God.
the thing, what I think is that he enjoyed it, of course. Like, they both enjoyed it. They say as much afterwards.
Right, but it's
But
real.
it makes that relationship real for him, and she's okay with that, but he's not there yet. For whatever reason, he's still stuck on something else.
Right.
And
He's not as adaptable as she is.
he's not. And she's
So,
already ready and in that honeymoon phase, and he's not.
right. So
And
they
so
go to this
things get
restaurant.
awkward,
Right.
and they
There's
say it's the
an
mosquito.
iconic phone call between them and their best friends. And
Who are
then
in the same bed and listed on different phone
phones. It's
lines.
super funny
It's
because back
really
then it
funny.
was phone lines. But also, they go to a restaurant and she's the first one to say, "I was mistaken." He's like, "Oh,
Oh, thank
shoot.
God. And she's like, wait, you're that relieved?
You're
Oh,
that
well, that
relief."
says a lot.
Yeah, like,
Okay.
fuck you. And
Because
so,
she's like in the mode that she's always in of like, I'm going to suppress this. It's going to be fine. I'm just going to say it's a mistake. And hopefully he will say something along the lines of,
other.
no, it wasn't a mistake. I wanted to do it, whatever. But
Right.
he doesn't. And then that really makes things awkward for her.
But it's awkward for both of them because they have this roll up to Marie and Jess's wedding that is happening. So there's all this prep for that. They are both attendants in the wedding. Sally, and they are at the wedding itself, and Sally like is not talking to Harry. She's not speaking to him, and so he's following her after, like, why is this such a big deal? And she's like, "What are you saying? You took pity on me. This was like pity sex. Fuck
Fuck you
you."
and
Slaps
slaps
him.
him.
It is awesome. And right at that moment,
Well, I
Jess is
think
giving a toast.
to give a little bit more of Harry's side, not that it's very valid,
No.
but him being like, she says, what, why are you trying to act like it didn't mean anything? And he's like, well, it did mean something, but why does it have to mean everything? And she's just like, what?
Because it's
Because
out
it's out
there.
there, because it does, it just
Right.
does. I'm sorry, we had sex and that means something to me.
Right.
And
And
he's like, but
you
it
know
doesn't have
that.
to mean everything. And she's just like, why are you sweeping this under the
Right.
rug? Just
Fuck
because sex
you.
doesn't always mean something for
Fuck
you doesn't mean it meant
you.
didn't mean something for me. And I have
Right.
told you that on multiple occasions that it means something to me.
Right. And so then we get to see a montage, and there are several montages in this
She
movie.
ices him out, essentially. She's
She ices
upset.
him out. This is Christmas without Harry. We've seen Christmas with Harry and holidays, whatever. He's leaving her messages, and this is
They're so funny.
hilarious. He sings to her. It is so fucking funny. And she actually finally picks up the phone. She's like, "I can't do this anymore. I am not your consolation prize," and hangs up. And
Iconic.
he's just like stunned. Like, I guess he just was so, he took for granted their friendship.
And now that he, again,
And
he's
now he doesn't have that. Like,
groveling.
he has blown the whole thing
Oh,
with
yeah.
this.
He
And
has.
it really is hurting him more than he wants to admit. And so we get to New Year's Eve.
And she's at the party with Jess and Marie, and she's talking to this one guy, and she's just
He's
not having a good
a
time. She's not having a good time.
loser.
And so Harry is contemplating all of his options. Like, he was going to go to the New Year's Eve party. He was inviting her on the phone. Hey, are you going to that New Year's Eve party we always go to? And she was like, no, I'm not having this conversation with you. And so he is at home in his apartment, and he's just like, he
I
has this
can't live without her,
realization
basically.
of like, he loves her. And he is walking around the streets of New York, and he's feeling lonely, and then he realizes how much he loves her. And so he r goes running to the New Year's Eve party just as she's about to leave. And
Right.
there's this amazing speech by him of explaining all the things he loves about her in like the most relatable way possible. It's not like this huge confessions of feelings.
I love
It
that
is.
you're cold when it's 71 degrees
I
outside.
love that it takes you an hour and a half to order a sandwich. I love that you have that crinkle above your nose when you look at me like I'm nuts. And I love that you're the last person I want to talk to before I go to sleep at night.
Yeah.
And it gets so sweet. And she's like, you see, you say things like that, and it makes it impossible for me to hate you. And I really
I
hate
hate
you,
you.
Harry. I hate you. And it's
And
clear
then
that they
they
just love
kiss.
each other. And he it
It's
because he
lovely.
has this one line about like, when you realize you want to spend the rest of your life with someone, you want the rest of your life to start as soon as possible. And
They
so it
kiss, and it's
and so
lovely.
and they kiss and they just make
It's
out. And
lovely. And then we get the retrospective.
You get them being sitting on the couch like the other couples who were interviewed.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, like 3 months later we were married. And she's like, yeah, it took 12 years and 3 months.
Yeah, we're good.
And now we're good. And they talk about like how the cake they had for their wedding had like the sauce on the side and the whole thing because it's Sally's thing. It's so, so sweet. It is my favorite rom-com. It gives you everything you want. It gives you enemies to lovers. It gives you friends to lovers. It gives you like, it's so well written. And you get all these amazing like side characters like Marie and Jess. And
but they're so real. These, I mean, like, they are realistic people. Realistic
conversations.
Yeah.
It's just, it's very sweet. And it's so nice to watch. And I love it so much.
And the acting, I've got to say this. Because, you know, you really underestimate people. Like Meg Ryan was the rom-com queen for a while. Billy Crystal, of course, is a comedic actor that has been unsung for quite some time. He hosted the Oscars for quite some time. Brilliant as a comedian, but to see him in a role like this is so unique. It's got some depth, it's got some tragedy, it's got some, you know, just all the elements.
If you want to see the tragedy, just watch the New York Giants game scene.
Oh my god,
it's
yeah.
so sad.
Yeah,
that symptom is fucking my life.
Yeah, exactly. There is so much nuance to this, and it's all expressed beautifully, and it's relatable. I saw this movie when it first came out. It was fantastic then. It's fantastic now. Cannot recommend it highly enough. It is our absolute favorite New Year's Eve movie.
It is.
And we are looking forward to the new year. We're looking forward to 2025. We hope that you join us as we go forward. And
cheers.